Well, our Big Questions summer series is continuing. Next week at 10 o'clock in one service here, we'll be looking at the question, does God love or really strongly dislike America? So after that, we will talk about when will the world end? Now, let me give you a preview. I don't have a date or time, so don't have that. But this week, we are looking at the question, is heaven for real? I turned around to talk to the choir, and there's no one there. They're out here. It's great to see you all out there instead of back here. Is heaven for real? Now, there are those that argue that dead is dead. Once your life on this earth is over, that's it. You're dead. It's blackness. It's nothing. We believe in Jesus, and we don't believe that. We believe that there is a heaven for those who call upon the name of the Lord. We believe that there is a heaven where we will be reunited with our loved ones that have gone before us, where we will stand before God, we will see the face of God, and that we will understand all of the questions that we have that we don't have answers to. Like, are the Jews saved? We'll figure these things out, and we will be in the presence of God forever. Yes, heaven is real. The real question is, what is it like? What is it like to be in heaven? I'll tell you what, I hope it's not. I hope it's not us sitting around with angels' wings floating on clouds plucking harps. That doesn't sound like my kind of heaven. I mean, we kind of all have our own sort of vision as to what heaven might be like. I mean, for me, my heaven has dogs in it. No cats, just dogs. But that's my heaven. Your heaven might have cats in it. I don't know. But we all have sort of our own ideas about what heaven might be like. And I've urged several of my friends who have outraced me to heaven to send me a text about how awesome it is, but I've yet to receive that text. No one has sent me pictures. I will endeavor, should I outrace you to heaven, I will try to send you some pictures about it. So check your cell phones if that happens. No one's really sure what heaven is like. So I think about the movie Field of Dreams. You remember that movie that Kevin Costner is a farmer in Iowa, and he takes a good portion of his cornfield and turns it into this beautiful baseball field? And these older baseball players, like from the Black Sox era, come and they play baseball. And only some people can see them, right? And it's a beautiful movie, beautifully shot, and I happen to love baseball. And there's a scene towards the end of the movie where Ray Kinsella, played by Kevin Costner, is meeting his father, but a much younger father. And it's sort of like clear, not so clear whether the dad knows he's talking to his son, but you feel like he is, but he doesn't go, hey, son. And they're leaving. They're fading back into the corn like they do, right? But Ray and his father, John Kinsella, are talking. And John asks Ray, is this heaven? And Ray goes, no, it's Iowa. But they go on, and it feels like heaven. Now, look, for me, that's a heaven I could get behind. Forever young, in shape, playing endless baseball in a beautiful place. That's a heaven I could get behind. Young and in shape, I'm there. But Scripture tells us something about what heaven looks like. And it comes from the book of Revelation, and there's just an N, there's no S on that. A lot of us will say the book of Revelations, there's just one revelation that John shares with us. So it comes from the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. We're going to start with verse 10, and we're going to go through verse 22. It's a beautiful description. So that you don't get bored listening to me read this long text, I invite you to close your eyes and listen as I read Holy Scripture to you, and think about what you might hear. Think about what you might see or smell as John describes to us the revelation he has of heaven. So hear these words. "And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It was a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. And on the gates were inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them are the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies 4 square, its length the same as its width, and he measured the city with his rod. 1,500 miles, its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 140 cubits by human measurement, which the angel was using. The wall is built of jasper, while the city is pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city are adorned with every jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each of the gates is a single pearl, and the street of the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I have in my office, I have a picture of this description. It occurs in a church in Rome called the Church of Santa Pudenziana, and it's an apse mosaic. It's the oldest existing mosaic, and it shows this exact picture of the New Jerusalem coming down. And if you ever want to see it, I have it in my office. It's something that I took an early Christian art class When I was in seminary, I wrote a 30-page paper about it, so I can tell you a lot about it. But it really describes this picture describes what we just read really well. But you ever wonder where the expression, the pearly gates, came from? This one right here. The streets of gold, this right here. It just doesn't describe adequately what we see, what we think about, what heaven might look like. You know, one of the things that I have had an interest in off and on in my life is near-death experiences. So with our medical advances, we have snatched many people back from the brink of death or even death itself and retrieve them. I've talked to some people who have had near-death experiences that saw heaven or saw their loved ones. There was a point in my life where I was devouring books about these near-death experiences because these people often come back and feel compelled to share this news of what they saw, what they experienced. And the experiences are similar. And I always thought it was interesting that all of these people were experiencing sort of heaven. Nobody was describing a near-death experience to the other place. I thought that was sort of interesting. But then I ran across a book called 23 Seconds in Hell. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. You don't want to go there. It's an interesting book. And then you have neurosurgeons, doctors that kind of poo-poo the near-death experience. They say, oh, what you're experiencing is your brain sort of dying. And so it's a chemical reaction that many people experience, and it's really not an experience of you being in heaven. And so I've read materials about that. And then there was one book that I came across that really caught my eye. It was a neurosurgeon who had a near-death experience. And he was one of those guys that poo-pooed the near-death experience. He was like, nah, it doesn't happen. It's this part of your brain that's dying. Well, it so happened that he had some form of meningitis. And what happened was he went into a coma for 7 days. And the exact part of the brain that all of the scientists said is the part that's dying that you see, it didn't work. It was already dead. I mean, they have EEGs showing that section of his brain was non-functioning. And the man was in a coma for 7 days. I mean, it got to the place where his family were talking about taking him off the respirator that was keeping him alive. This is this man's experience that he had. It's a fascinating book, choose to read it or not. And I'm not saying he's getting it right. He's just sharing his experience of what he experienced in heaven. So I have a few excerpts that I want to read for you. The first is sort of when he arrives there. He kind of went through this sort of primordial goo, he called it. And then he moved into this plane where he was in heaven. And he says this, I was flying, passing over trees and fields, streams and waterfalls, and here and there people. There were children too, laughing and playing. The people sang and danced around in circles, and sometimes I'd see a dog running and jumping among them, as full of joy as the people were. They were simple yet beautiful clothes, and it seemed to me that the colors of those clothes had the same kind of living warmth as the trees and flowers that bloomed. So this is like when he first arrives, and this is what he's seen. A little bit later, he is met by what he calls a guardian angel, but it was a being that sort of escorted him, and what he realized shortly into this experience was that he was being given a tour of heaven. And he was getting to experience all the different parts of it. And so he's describing his experience with his guardian angel. Without using any words, she spoke to me. The message went through me like a wind, and I instantly understood that it was true. I knew so in the same way that I knew that the world around us was real. It was not some fantasy. It wasn't passing, and it wasn't insubstantial. The world around me was real. The message had three parts, and if I had to translate them into earthly language, I'd say they ran something like this. You are loved and cherished dearly forever. You have nothing to fear. There is nothing you can do wrong. The message flooded me with a vast and crazy sensation of relief. It was like being handed the rules to a game I'd been playing all of my life without ever fully understanding it. I don't know what heaven's like. This is this man's experience of it. But I do know it's for real. I do know it's a place that I want to go. It's a place that I want to be. There's an old preacher story that has gone around. I'm sure some of you may have heard it, but there was an old country physician that was talking to one of his patients, was delivering not good news, that his end of life was coming quickly. And the patient then asked his doctor, is there life after death? And the doctor said, I don't know. And then his dog was on the other side of the door. The physician's dog was on the other side of the door, and he began to scratch the door, wanting to get into the door. And he said, I think it's kind of like this. That dog doesn't know what's on the other side of that door. That dog just knows that his master is in here, and he wants to be with him. That's what heaven is like for me. It's where my master is, and it's where I want to go. What I know is that eternal life is available to all who call on the name of the Lord. Period. Hard stop. I know you are possessors of this good news. And it is our job to share that news with the people in our community. The eternal life is available for you through faith in Jesus Christ. Period. Folks, I'm ready to go. If I get hit by the proverbial bus or the 18-wheeler on my way home today, I'm ready. Are you? Are you ready to go to heaven? Now look, I'm not asking any of you to rush out here and hurry off there. I'm reminded of that Kenny Chesney song. The chorus, it kind of floats around, but it goes something like this. Everybody want to go to heaven. It beats the other place. There ain't no doubt. Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to go now. But I am ready. Whenever the Lord calls me, I'm ready to fly up there. I'm in no hurry. Well, the truth is, I'm ready. If I happen to outrace you to heaven, I'll try to send you a text. I'll try to send you some information about how awesome it is and what it might look like. But my master is there. That's where I want to be, where he is. We know where we're going. I used to think as a child that that was an arrogant thing to say. People would ask, do you think you're going to go to heaven? And I would go, I hope so. But as I grew in my faith, I understood that the proper answer was yes. Because it's promised me in the Bible. It's not about being good enough to get into heaven. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. And yes, I'm going to heaven. We know about eternal life. We know it's real. We know it's there. And it is our job to share the good news that's available to all who call on the name of the Lord. So, two questions for you to walk out of here with. First, are you ready? The second, what are you going to do about possessing the life-changing good news that eternal life is available to all? Let us pray. Gracious God, what a gift heaven is. It's one that we don't really understand, but we know, Father, it is a place that we want to be because you are there. We want to sit on the lap of our Savior Jesus and understand all of the things that we don't understand in this lifetime. We look forward to the time when we're reunited with our loved ones from this earth. Father, we ask that you would make us a church that is daring, a church that is unafraid to share the good news that eternal life is available to all through faith in Jesus. Help us to go out into our world and our community to share that good news. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. All God's children said, amen. Amen.